SKD4SRR at QTH of Joanna 29351. The caller who was trying to get in, but not quite, about a half hour, 45 minutes ago, if you're still up, try again.
This is Whiskey 4 Hotel India. The name's Bruce, B-R-U-C-E. We're located in Seneca.
But didn't wake you up there. This is Robert. Like I said, it's Kilo Delta 4, Sierra Romeo Romeo. I heard someone trying to get into the repeater earlier. Maybe you heard it, but it was nothing but white noise. I could almost hear somebody talking, but that could have been my imagination, too.
Well, Rob, I think it really was your imagination because I was sound asleep, so it couldn't have been me. Anyway, just woke up and thought I'd try something, and I was on HF. I just turned the HF on, but I turned this on and heard you come in. Anyway, we're down here in Seneca.
Up there for Seneca for me. Says y'all are up there in the Coffin Corner of South Carolina, in one of the two, what they used to call the dark corners.
The Golden Triangle, or the Golden Corner, is what we call ourselves up here. And we just came back. We'd lived here once before and had a house on Lake Hartwell for a long while. Sold that and moved on to other places. And came back about a year and a half ago. And we're going to move into a new house, our second new house in our lifetime. Both of them are here in Oconee County. How's that for you? Anyway, yeah, this month, today the 23rd, brand new.
Congratulations both times, and especially the last. Hopefully you'll be back to stay now.
Evelyn, this is our 11th house over 30 years. We're done. Well, really 40 years, but both of us haven't houses before, so that's where it totals up. But anyway, yeah, we're very quite happy here. So, Rob, is it Robert or Rob?
It's fine. I usually go by the full name. Actually, my middle name's Brian with a Y. But since my name's Robert, is always Robert B on my ID and everything, I just go ahead and start letting people call me Robert. When I worked in radio, I was the board op, and the guy referred to me as Robert. So that was fine with me. Because the one thing about Brian, a lot of people don't do Brian. They go Brian, like B-R-I-N-E. So Robert or Rob is fine with me now. Instead of Brian.
Sounds good. We go by Bruce, like Bruce Willis, and a lot of times if I use that on HF, I get called Bert. So must be somehow I pronounce it. But on my call sign, I put a middle name. So I also have Ed, which I use predominantly on HF, Echo Delta. It's really easy. Everybody gets that one. So the first name's Bruce, and we lived here. We first came here. Well, the first time I came here was in the early '80s for work from South Florida, and got to know Greenville, specifically Greenville County Sheriff's Office. I worked with them on a number of different type of narcotics cases, and it was good. Good people back then in the early '80s. So we moved up here in '87 to Atlanta. To kind of wander around and started up drug task forces. And I came to Oconee County to help set one up between them, Pickens and Anderson. And that's when we saw Lake Hartwell for the first time. So, anyway, it's nice to be back. We've been back here, like I said, a year and a half. We looked around for where, just out of Seneca, we could find a place, find a really nice yard, piece of land. And then we spent the last 8 months building on it, or having it built on it, by a very, very good contractor. Over.
Well, that's quite a story there, and we're happy to have you back, and it's certainly an area that you can say, thankfully and regrettably, could use your field of expertise. We're living in the same situation down here in Lawrence County, whether it's Lower Lawrence or Upper Lawrence around Graycourt. I know our sheriff could use all the help he could get because he's got a handful when he took it over from the last administration.
County here in South Carolina that I didn't assist in the 80s and 90s in doing, Lawrence County is one of them. I remember that quite well. Very pretty town, area, for being really from the farther south. but also, I grew up in Pennsylvania, but I went to Florida as a senior in college, to finish college, a little town called Boca Raton, and we fell in love with the ocean down there and all that kind of stuff. But we lived in Brunswick, Georgia, Jacksonville, Washington, D.C., here twice now, and in Atlanta, so we moved around a little bit. All was good. Did travel a lot, too. I mean, I did saw most of the states because of drug work and a little bit of South America. A lot of the Caribbean, but anyway, enough about that. Very good. It's really nice. I don't know what time it is, but anyway, I'm awake. 127, wow.
Well, I am a night owl. All my jobs seem to wind up on third shift, and even though I'm retired and lazing around now, my clock will not reset to mornings. If I'm up in the morning, it's because I did not go to bed that night. And I did a little civic duty this past week with the runoff election. So I didn't sleep at all before I had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was still awake at 8 o'clock at night when we delivered the ballot boxes to the Lawrence County Voter Bureau, for lack of a better word. And so it took me a couple of days to recover. But now I'm back to night owling again. And, you know, I could try to go to bed early, but boom, especially when you get older, you just wake up and you stay up. Then you take naps during the day.
We put the yard in this last week. Got about a little less than 2 acres, and we clear-cutted about three-quarters of an acre, so there's no trees. It was all mud. Picked up everything and built a house right in that center there, overlooking Conoros Creek, which is a natural creek that comes out of the mountains all the way and flows into Lake Hartwell, and there's some rapids there and a small hydroelectric dam that was built in 1910. So we got a water effect in our backyard. It's really pretty neat. So, but it is really nice being up here. I spent a lot of time on the coast goofing off. I like boating and sailing and diving. And I wasn't a fisherman, but I sure was an explorer. I sure towed a boat all the way from the Outer Banks to Key West. I was in Panama City, even up into the Tennessee River sometime. So did a lot of personal boating, and we used other people's boats in other parts of the country, the Caribbean, and off the coast of Ecuador, in the Galapagos Islands. So anyway, what kind of work did you do that you were third shift? I was a rookie cop, and man, when I went to third shift, that was a disaster. Because they made us rotate every 7 days. Oh, gosh, that was so tough. And I hated that. Eventually, I got out of that and got into the drug work, which could be up for 24 hours or more, but most of the time, it was pretty much, you know, evenings, and, which I do real good at evenings. But trying to stay up all night, oh, that's tough. But anyway, glad you were able to do that. Over.
SRRID. I lived a completely opposite life. I was, I worked Wilbur or Casper Milk Toast jobs at banks and computer, where I was a geek. And about as close as I got to anything semi-exciting was working on the inmate phone systems, five cities around South Carolina and Georgia. That was kind of like a scam, though, because what it did was, it's the way the prison system, and I say scam in the way because whoever the inmate called, they had to pay collect, and that money went back to the prison system. So I guess you could kind of say it was retribution, but at least our part of it was kind of different. I just handled the chips and the switches and all that kind of stuff. But after that, I just worked a variety of jobs with downsizing in the 90s. About all you could get was contract work, unless you wanted to really move somewhere exotic. But I had a mom to take care of, so by that time. Up until the time she went to the nursing home, I pretty much was her caregiver.
Robert, that's a really fine thing to be able to do. Both of my parents lived very long lives. My mom passed away at 86, and my dad passed away at 93. And it was good. Both of them were real good till the end. And then it was miserable for them. It was. But anyway, they lived really good lives. My dad retired at 60, and they became snowbirds between Oak Raton and northwestern Pennsylvania. They had a really idyllic life, 26 years of it together. And they really had a blast. They did it up. Over.
Yeah, it's exciting what you did on the water. My paternal grandfather was big into boats, as was my eldest uncle on my dad's side. My dad was a blue-collar Johnny. He did hard work. He did dirty work. And when he wasn't work, he felt like, his vacation was, we got to paint those windows again. So once in a while, he'd get a wild hair, and we'd take off to Florida or something like that. When he was during World War II, he spent some time down there. And somewhere I got the picture put up, but he was actually over Clark Gable himself for a while. And as his commanding, he was a non-com, so he'd been his sergeant. When all of Hollywood was doing, their little ornamental tours, unlike Audie Murphy, unlike Jimmy Stewart, who did the real thing, Clark Gable was kind of in there just literally for show. But once he got his mustache and his hair shaved off, no one recognized Rhett Butler at all. And all the girls would laugh at Clark Gable, because they didn't believe him at all, who he said he was.
Interesting, very interesting. Yeah, my dad was enlisted in the Army in 1941 and got trained here in Georgia, Camp Bennington. And then he got on a troop ship in New Orleans and thought he was going to North Africa. And they go sailing out in the Caribbean, whole big convoy. All of a sudden, half the convoy turns right, heads south, and goes down to a small little outcropping of land. It's the easternmost point in South America to Africa, called Natal. And they build a big air base down there where they ferry planes from here, from the States, down to there during the winter time, and got to Natal. And then they would fly them all the way over to the Ascension Islands, far past the airplane's capabilities. But they had just cans of gasoline inside them, so they were floating, flying bombs. And the guys would land on that one runway that was tore out of a volcano there on Ascension Islands by the British. And then from there, they would go to North Africa. But he stayed on Nidell until 1944, then got transferred to come up to Camp Bennington and go through jump school. He thought he was going to be jumping on Tokyo. Over.
Roger that. Well, some people look at my dad that he never really actually saw combat, especially that time that he spent Myrtle in Miami Beach. You think, man, you were doing luxury, but he enlisted as well before the war. He enlisted in like 39 as soon as he got out of high school. He wanted the heck out of Chester, South Carolina so bad, and this was his ticket to go in because really nobody, it was peace. Yeah, there was talk of a war, ruminations in Germany, but nobody thought about Japan that much. So he got in, and he got pretty much the pick of the litter. He did spend some time in White Sands prior to the bomb going off. He was kind of overseeing German POWs there. He wasn't really a guard, but per se, but he was like assigned them to do things. And he kind of liked them, even though, yeah, they were Nazis. He was kind of entertained by them. And then he was flown to Australia and then New Guinea, where actually the natives almost got him there. That was the closest thing he ever came to a disaster or meeting his end.
My dad never saw combat, but he did do his three jumps. So he got his parachute with wings. And in his later years, he was really, really proud of all that stuff. He just say the same stories over and over again. When we lived in Boca Raton, they'd be down there for the winter. During usually January or February, they'd bring it was a Confederate Air Force, but then it became some other Continental Air Force or whatever, and they'd bring down B-17s and B-25 Liberators, and I took them out there. We'd go out there all the time, but I took them out there one time, and they had guys dressed up in uniforms, but they were young men, you know, and trying to relate about the machines and all that. My dad actually flew in them. He serviced them. He watched them take off and crash and everybody die. And man, at one time, he was talking about it, and must have had about 25, 30 people around us just listening, from small kids to, you know, people his own age. And he could really talk about the Air Force during World War II. Over.
My dad, he worked on B-17s and B-25s. He never got to the B-29s. He was discharged before the end of World War II. And when he got his orders, he was actually working on a B-25. And, I mean, he said, well, let me finish up. And they said, Keller, you going now or you ain't going? So he said, okay, yes, sir. And he found out that nobody crashed or died, but the engine fell out on the runway while they were taxiing out. So, I mean, and he thought, am I going to be, and they went, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, government will pay for it. Hey, you know, they told you to leave. You did what you was told. But one thing was interesting. He was fascinated by Australia, but he did not care at all for the Australian men. He liked the Australian women, but he was kind of a, One thing, he was a real straight-laced guy. He didn't drink. Well, his dad was drank a lot, and he was so his father, my grandfather, back in the day. So my dad was a teetotaler. So he didn't care dealing with, you know, the Australian men too much because they were all into what they're into. But he loved the countryside, and he just said, you know, everything's wool, everything's sheep, everything's mutton, you know. So he really liked going to the coast because at least he could get some seafood.
Of it all our lives. We had, it sounded like you had a good life doing what you did. I sure worked around a few prisons every once in a while. But all it was, especially was electronic surveillance. So that's what I really did, and that was my niche. So good amateur radio trade. 7-3 from upstate South Carolina in Senator. 7-3, Robert. W4HI clear, QRT.